out on KIXI, Seattle. The time now is 10 p.m.
CBS News. The United States Senate remains in session at this hour, exceptionally late, attempting to pass the largest tax cut bill in history. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Senate had hoped to approve the $33 billion package several hours ago, but got bogged down in a series of amendments, and the debate continues. Congressional leaders caught between the Easter recess and other legislation now say it will be mid-April before any action is taken on the administration's request for additional military aid to Southeast Asia. Insurgent rockets have hit two American supply planes at the Phnom Penh airport. Damage is heavy. Mike Stentosky reports.
U.S. officials here have suspended the U.S. emergency airlift of supplies twice in the same morning after two American planes were damaged in rocket attacks at Ho Chi Minh Airport. The planes, a DC-8 jet carrying rice and a C-130 loaded with ammunition, arrived from Utapao, Thailand, and were ready for unloading when the rockets started landing. A U.S. spokesman said it was too early to assess the full extent of damage, though a fuel bladder and a hydraulic line were hit. Neither of the planes was able to take off again. Both are now under repair. 14 members of the Cambodian ground crew were injured. The two planes were among the first flights of the day. Mike Sadowski for CBS News, Phnom Penh.
Military sources in Saigon say insurgent forces now control seven provinces in South Vietnam, from Quang Tri in the far north through the central highlands to Binh Long north of Saigon. As thousands of refugees streamed on roads south, military sources in Saigon and the State Department officials in Washington say government forces are under heavy attack in the old imperial capital of Hue. More after this.
See if you can identify these sounds. Squeaky door. Lion growling. A motor scooter. Cow mooing. Spanish dancer. If you agreed with these guesses, you've been fooled, because each sound was made by a whale. That's right, a great big blubbery old whale just buzzing and clicking and grunting away deep down in the ocean. The National Audubon Society has joined a world effort to save these amazing animals from extinction. We need your help. To find out what you can do, write National Audubon Society, 950 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.
The House has passed a $1.5 billion bill to stimulate the housing industry. It provides tax rebates to new home buyers and subsidizes lower mortgage rates. Secretary Kissinger will meet again Saturday evening with Israeli leaders. The topic of discussion, the latest Egyptian counter-peace proposal. Alexander Garcia, a candidate for the city council in Los Angeles, is sending store discount coupons in the mail with his regular campaign literature.
I didn't want to get into the usual type of campaign tactics where you send the people a potholder or a nail file or something like this. We thought we'd work with what the people need, and with the way inflation is and high prices, the people need a break in the economy. So I got out and talked to merchants and asked them if they'd be willing to help us by giving some of the local residents a discount if they'd be willing to come in and shop at their store. And they just fell all over themselves. They said, sure, we'd love to. They'd do anything to help the economy.
And Garcia hopes the coupons, which look like $1 bills, will help get him elected. A federal judge has permitted the financially troubled Rock Island Railroad to postpone the shutdown of its freight operation until April 12th. Union workers in Philadelphia have rejected a tentative contract. It would have ended the 7-day-old transit strike that halted service to 400,000 commuters. A court-appointed panel in Boston has approved a new plan, which they say would desegregate more public schools but involve the busing of fewer students. The plan would take effect in September and involve the busing of 10 to 15,000 students. More CBS News after this message.
My dandruff shampoo has no protein conditioners.
No regular shampoo has anything to help my dandruff.
But now I found Sorex medicated shampoo.
It helps relieve the dandruff.
And it has protein conditioners to help build up the body.
With regular use, Sorex helps relieve scaling, flaking, and itching.
Well, its protein conditioners add body, manageability, and luster. So instead of choosing between a clean scalp and beautiful hair, I choose Sorex. And get both.
On nights when you have trouble falling asleep, what do you do to help?
I sleep with my head at the other end of the bed.
I eat.
On those occasional nights when exercise and counting sheep just don't seem to work, try Compose. Compose helps relax you, so your body is able to fall asleep more easily. Of course, by falling asleep more easily, you're going to feel better the next morning. Use Compose only as directed. And remember, the more easily you fall asleep, the better you feel the next morning. Compose.
Probably as a sign of the times, the French government reports champagne exports fell by 15% last year. Venezuela was the only country to increase its champagne imports. North Vietnam was the smallest consumer, importing just 24 bottles of bubbly. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. Mystery Theater is next. And the weather outlook for the KIXI listening area. Calling for showery periods and rather windy through Sunday, partial clearing at times. Showers locally mixed with snow and possible thundershowers. The highs in the upper 40s, lows in the upper 30s. And in downtown Seattle currently it's 43 degrees. In sports briefly, in the NBA this evening, Sonics in Los Angeles now in overtime. Portland defeated Phoenix, Detroit over Houston, Washington down New Orleans, Kansas City lost to Chicago, Philadelphia beat Atlanta, and Boston took Buffalo. The time at KIXI is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... In. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. The administration of justice requires absolutely that certain men render judgment on other men. It seems to me that these judges can become so burdened by this responsibility that their lives become very nearly insupportable, provided they are men of conscience. And the man whose story we now bring you is indeed a man of conscience. And his life, at this time, well nigh insupportable.
For heaven's sake, Jack, keep your voice down. He'll hear you.
He knows how I feel.
Then why keep after him about it?
I'm warning him. Don't you understand that? Doesn't anybody understand that? Doesn't he?
I think you can leave it up to him to decide.
No, I can't. Because he doesn't know. He doesn't realize the man must die. The man has got to die.
Our mystery drama, The Man Must Die, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars William Prince and Christopher Tabori. It is sponsored in part by imported Vigna Rosé wine and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You're driving a car you knew you were going to buy the minute you saw it. Skyhawk. Buick Skyhawk. You just knew a car this streamlined would be easy on gas, and you were right. In published EPA mileage test results, Skyhawk got 25 miles per gallon on the open road and 16 in the city. Skyhawk. It's rakish, it's low slung, it looks European, but it's a Buick.
Living free.
If you're in business, you don't need us to tell you ad costs are rising.
It's called adflation. But maybe you do need us to remind you there's one medium not soaring in price. One medium that relies more on creativity than dollars for production. One medium that moves quickly. You're listening to it now, and so are your customers. Virtually everyone listens to radio every week, averaging over 3 hours a day. Call this station. We'll suggest ways radio can help you fight adflation. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
Hi, this is Jose Feliciano, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians, a national nonprofit organization working to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation exists to help talented blind musicians achieve professional status as performers and teachers, providing them with auditions, evaluations, and counseling, paid engagements to qualified musicians, and the transcription of music into Braille. The services of the Louis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person. The foundation depends entirely on your contributions. So please help. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Louis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. Help a blind musician on his way. Thank you. I come home in the evening.
The Right Honorable Joseph Bailey is 50 years old, has a wife and a son, Jack, age 18. The judge is a man of both strength and sensitivity, a fine combination in anyone, but most especially in a man who holds and must exercise the power to dispose of the futures and sometimes the very lives of others. We first meet Judge Bailey at a time when his life has become almost insupportable.
Don't eat so fast, Joe. You know what it does to you.
I don't want any more coffee.
Izzy.
I know you've been dreading it.
You can say that again.
Well, now, dear, don't you think that just because this is the day, you should start it off right? Now relax and enjoy your breakfast and, well, maybe a good brisk walk to the courthouse.
I was planning on walking.
It's a lovely day. Joseph, don't eat so fast. Now, heaven.
I want to get started.
But it's early. You don't want to hang around down there, do you?
No. I don't want to hang around here either.
Why not? Oh, because of him.
Because of him.
I don't think he's even out of bed yet.
Oh, yes, he is. I heard him moving around.
Well, in that case, but I don't know what you're going to do with your time. Court doesn't begin until 10.
I'll get some coffee.
Oh, it breaks my heart to have you drink cheap coffee when you could be drinking mine.
I'll do some reading in my chambers.
You're too wrought up to do any reading, I can tell.
Well, I'll do something. Anything's better than being here when Jack comes downstairs. I simply cannot go through that one more time. I cannot.
Well, you'd better hurry. I think I hear him.
Where's my coat?
It's in the closet. Where else would it be?
Oh, yes.
Now, don't rude.
No, I won't.
You always do the right thing.
Well, I'm glad you think so.
Bye, dear. Now, take care.
Father!
You talk to
I
him.
Will.
Father! Sneaked off, didn't he?
Now, that's no way to talk about your father, Jack.
Didn't want to face me.
Come now, have your breakfast.
Didn't want to listen to me.
Your father has heard enough out of you, Jack. I shouldn't have to remind you that your father is quite capable of making his decisions without your help. He's done it on his own for a good many years.
This man's a murderer.
I know that, and your father knows that. It's not the first murder trial your father's presided over.
What's he decided? Is it going to be death or the penitentiary?
Well, I have no idea what he's decided. I don't even know that he has decided. He may very well be thinking it over. That's probably what he's doing right now.
But he must have given you some idea which way he's leaning.
Eat your eggs, Jack, before they get cold.
Hasn't he?
No.
I don't believe you.
I don't like to be talked to that way, Jack. Now eat your eggs.
You mean he hasn't said anything to you about an important case like this?
Well, your father never discusses any of his cases with me, important or unimportant, until they're disposed of.
But this case, a man murdering his father.
All I know about it is what I've read in the papers. And the man wasn't his father.
He was his adoptive father.
Same thing.
It's not even clear that the man adopted him. He took him from the orphanage at age 14 and put him to work on his farm as he had done with three other boys before and did with two more after.
Well, yes, but he raised them, gave them a home, and...
Yes, and he never had to pay a cent to a hired hand. Do you ever think of that part of it?
Are you trying to say it was all right to bash his head in with a shovel just because he made his kids do a little work?
Of course I'm not saying that it was all right.
You're on his side, aren't you?
Whose side, for heaven's sake?
Father's side.
Your father isn't on any side.
You think the murderer should get away with it?
Jack, I refuse to discuss this with you. I absolutely refuse. I don't blame your father for running out of the house.
Well, that's what he did, isn't it? Ran out.
Because he didn't want to listen to another one of your harangues, and I don't want to hear another one either. Now, this is your father's decision. It is part of his job. And it's not a very pleasant part either. So, well, I'll thank you to leave it to him and not to butt in. Now, if you don't want those eggs, hand them over to me. I'll eat them myself.
Take them. I don't want them.
Well, pour yourself some coffee, at least.
No, I don't want any.
Where are you going?
Well, first I'm going to get dressed, and then I'm going down to that courthouse.
Jack, don't do that.
I want to hear this decision.
You leave your father alone.
I'm not going near him. How could I? He's unapproachable. How could I do anything to him? He's untouchable. He's the judge. The final word belongs to him.
That's right. And that's as it should be.
I just want to be there to hear him pronounce that final word.
But why, Jack? Why? Why do you care so much?
Because, Mother, this man, this murderer, has got to die. Can't you get that through your head? He has got to die.
Show your passes, please.
I'm Jack Bailey.
See your pass, please.
I'm Jack Bailey. Judge Bailey is my father.
Oh, you're the judge's son.
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
Well, in that case,
I'll just go in.
Special instructions. You're not to be admitted. He doesn't want you in a courtroom. He left particular instructions to that effect.
Left instructions with who?
With me personally, sir.
Did he say why?
Didn't say and didn't inquire. In this building, a judge's word is law.
Mother! Mother!
For heaven's sake, what is it?
He barred me from the courtroom. Can you imagine that?
Yes.
Do you know he was going to do that?
No.
He had no right.
Oh, he had every right. It's his courtroom.
What was he afraid of?
Well, you know perfectly well what he was afraid of, that you'd make a scene. And probably you would have the state you've been in.
I feel very strongly about this. That man should be punished for taking a life.
He will be.
He should give his own life in exchange for the life he took.
Well, you know what the Supreme Court said about that.
I don't care what the Supreme Court said. 20 states permit capital punishment, and ours is one of them.
20 states are trying to get around the Supreme Court decision. Now, it remains to be seen.
The very least father could have done is go on record that he's against the Supreme Court and for the state law.
Well, maybe he will.
He better.
Well, you'd better watch how you talk about your father. And watch your attitude toward him, too.
When will he be home?
I don't know. He didn't say.
The sentence will be in the afternoon paper.
Yes, I imagine so.
What time does that come out?
About noon, something like that.
It's almost 11:30. I'm going out to buy one.
Oh, Jack, for heaven's sake, it's not out yet. Not for half an hour at least. Now, darling, sit down, cool off.
I can't.
Why in the world is this case so important to you? I can't for the life of me figure it out.
Don't you understand? The whole mess we're in, the whole mess the world is in, you did it.
Me? I did it?
No, not you personally. Your generation.
Oh.
The generation of permissiveness. Bleeding hearts, understanding, tolerance, all that bilge. You swallowed it whole. You poisoned the world with all that compassion stuff. You raised me on it.
I never saw anything wrong with the way we raised you.
When I flunked out of college, you sent me to Paris, to art school.
Didn't you like Paris or art school?
Of course I liked it. That's not the point.
Well, what is the point?
I wasn't supposed to flunk out of school.
No, but you did. What were we supposed to do about it?
You weren't supposed to let me get away with it.
But you'd already gotten away with it. You're back in school now. I don't see that any harm was done.
That's not the point. It's the principle of the thing. Nobody is supposed to get away with anything.
Oh, Jack.
Oh, I'd hate to have that principle applied to everything I've done.
I'm going out to see if that afternoon paper's on the stand.
It isn't.
Well, if it isn't, I'll go back to the courthouse. Somebody down there ought to be able to tell me what happened.
Now, Jack? Oh.
Jack, you came home.
May I come in?
Yes, sure. Sure.
Well, you want to know what the sentence was?
Of course I want to know.
20 years to life.
You didn't...
I didn't sentence him to death. No, I didn't. Now I'm going upstairs and lie down.
Wait a minute. Wait one little minute.
Jack, please.
You can spare me a minute, can't you?
I suppose I can.
How do you justify what you did?
You mean not sending the man to be killed?
He can get out of jail in 20 years, you know.
If he behaves himself, I know.
He can get out and kill somebody else?
But I don't think he will.
You don't think? You're willing to take a chance because you don't think he will?
Well, what else can I go on but my own judgment?
How do you know he won't kill somebody?
I don't. Any more than I know I won't. Or you won't. Or anybody else won't. Except possibly your mother, and I can't give you any guarantee about her if it comes to that. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like...
You've done a terrible thing.
I don't think so.
And you're going to regret it.
I hope not.
Well, you will. You'll see. When you're responsible for another murder, you're going to be very, very sorry for what you've done.
Jack, please.
If he kills somebody else, you'll be responsible. You'll be the murderer yourself. You know that, don't you?
Jack, stop it. It's all been decided. It's over. Now, there's nothing more to be said or done.
Nothing more to be said or done.
That's right.
Nothing more to be said. Nothing more to be done.
Nothing, dear. So...
We'll see. We'll just wait and see about that.
Arguments between parents and their children are nothing new. Actually, they dominate the years the children are growing up. It is not until the child has left the parents' home and has his own home, produced his own children, that the passion subsides and the arguments turn into discussions. And even then, there smolders beneath the acquired courtesy and the polished tact, the ancient hostilities and the basic antagonisms of the earlier years. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your call to contact. The sooner the better.
Sneezing, drips, congestion. What next?
6 or 3 or 1.
Is that an answer or a question?
That's the question when you catch the common cold. For you, the answer is 12-hour contact.
Why?
Well, because you'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact capsule for up to 12 hours continuous relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. The tiny time pills do it. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin.
And contact doesn't.
Right. So, 6 or 3 or 1. Your cold, your choice.
I'll take the 1 contact, thank you.
Give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact only as directed.
I think it was the first time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed and I shakily held onto the willows. And we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish. The biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life, and it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Barely a month has passed since Judge Joseph Bailey sentenced a confessed murderer to 20 years to life. A month since his son Jack denounced him as worse than irresponsible for not having sent the murderer to his death. Since his wife Helen said to their son, "There's nothing more to be said, nothing more to be done." A month since the boy replied, "Wait and see." Since that day, an unidentifiable mood has permeated the Bailey home, a mood which neither mother, nor father, nor son can break.
You need more butter.
Oh, I can make this do.
No, muffins need plenty of butter.
Helen, why doesn't Jack come down for breakfast anymore?
Oh, really? It's up to him, Joseph. We can't make him.
A month ago, I was avoiding him, and now he's avoiding me.
Well, ever since the sentencing of that man.
He's been different. Don't bother to deny it. He's been completely different.
I wasn't going to deny it, though. Maybe I wouldn't say completely. He's been different.
I thought by now...
I thought so, too.
I'll be in my study if you want me. I have some briefs to go over. Probably take all morning.
Well, I won't want you because I'm finally going to put up those peaches that I bought a week ago, or they'll go bad.
I'll see you around lunchtime.
Yes, dear.
Mother!
Oh! Oh, Jack, you startled me.
Sorry.
My head's full of dishes and everything. Don't you sneak up on me when I have my hands full of dishes. Don't ever do that again.
Okay, I won't ever do that again.
And pour yourself some coffee, dear. Oh, and there's muffins, but you'll need butter. I'll bring it.
Mother, sit down a minute.
I want to clear the table.
I want to tell you something. Oh, come on. Put the dishes down.
Oh, dear. Well, all right. What is it?
I've made up my mind about something.
Oh, what's that?
I'm going to see that man.
What man?
That murderer. You know which one.
That man is in jail.
Well, of course he's in jail. Father put him there.
Why do you want to see him?
I want to ask him a few things.
Like what?
Oh, how he feels, walking around alive after he's killed a man, eating and sleeping and enjoying life.
I rather doubt that he's enjoying life.
Well, he's living, isn't he? And the man he killed isn't.
Jack, you realize, don't you, that this man has gotten to be an obsession with you?
Oh, no, it's not the man. It's the fact that he's alive. I want to know if he's feeling any remorse for what he did, if he regrets it, if he feels any sense of guilt at all.
I think you can take it for granted that he feels all those things.
Oh, but how do I know for sure unless I ask him?
I'm sure your father won't approve.
I can't help that.
Well, when are you planning to go to see this man?
I thought now.
Today?
This morning.
Oh, Jack, you've got to think about it.
I've thought about it for weeks.
Jack, please, now, please, don't rush into this. Please, talk to your father or somebody. Don't just go tearing off.
Sorry. I'll be back sometime.
What makes you think they'll even let you in?
Why, I'm the son of the Right Honorable Joseph Bailey. That ought to get me in anywhere, don't you think? Except, of course, into his precious courtroom.
Jack, wait, wait. Let me ask him.
Sorry.
Jack? Jack! Oh. Joseph?
Yes, Helen?
I had to disturb you, dear.
Well, that's all right.
Darling, Jack came downstairs right after you came in here.
Well, didn't I just hear him go
out? Yes, and that's why I had to disturb you. You'll never guess where he's gone. He's gone to see that man. You know, the murderer. He's gone down to the jail to talk to him.
Talk to him? About what?
About his feelings, he said. Whether he feels sorry that he did what he did, whether he feels remorse or guilt, all that. Joseph, I tried to stop him, but I really didn't quite realize till the very last minute that he actually meant it. That he meant to go now. He hardly listened to me, and before I knew it, he was out the door.
Don't worry about it, Ellen. They won't let him in.
They won't? Oh, I wondered about that.
Well, of course they won't.
He seemed to think that being your son, all he had to do was mention your name.
I don't think my name impresses the warden too much.
Oh.
Not in his own bailiwick, where he makes the rules.
Well, it's a relief. Another thing that worried me, I didn't think if they did let him in, that the man would be too happy to talk to him.
Not if he knew how Jack felt about his... well, about his being put away instead of being executed.
He might refuse to see him, but I don't think he'd hurt him.
Well, if the warden won't let him in...
He won't.
Well, then I'll let you go back to your reading. And I'll get started on my peaches.
You call me for lunch.
I shall. And a half pint of brandy. Oh, that seems like a lot of brandy. Oh, well.
Mother.
Oh, Jack. You've done it again.
Done what?
Snuck up on me with my hands full. Do you realize I almost dropped a whole cup of your father's best brandy?
Oh, sorry.
I'm making those brandied peaches. Jack, what's the matter? You look pale.
Do I?
Very pale. You look worn out. What is it?
I saw him.
You saw... whom did you see?
You know, the murderer.
You mean you went to the jail?
I told you I was going.
But they... they let you in to see him?
There was nothing to it. I walked right into his cell, I talked to him, and then they let me out, and I came home.
It was that easy?
Of course, nothing to it.
What did you talk to him about?
What I told you. I asked him how he felt.
And what did he say about how he felt?
He said he felt fine.
He felt fine?
He didn't feel guilty or remorseful or anything. He said the killing was the only thing in his life he felt good about.
Oh, he couldn't have meant that.
Oh, yes, he did. You should have heard him. He said it was his first manly act. That's what he called it. Manly.
Well, that hardly seems possible.
He said he'd never felt so much like himself. In fact, he said it was the only time he'd felt like himself. His true self, he said.
Well, that's very strange. That's a strange way to talk.
He's about my age. A little older, maybe a year or two. He's got brown eyes and brown hair. And he sat there looking at me, right in the eye, and telling me that the murder was the crowning achievement of his life.
He didn't mean it.
If you heard him, you wouldn't say that. Oh, yes. He meant it all right. He really meant it.
He upset you, didn't he?
It wasn't exactly what I'd hoped he'd say.
Why don't you go upstairs and lie down for a bit? I'll call you when lunch is ready.
I think I'll do that. Yes, I think I'll do that. Call me for lunch.
I will. Now, get a little rest. You hear me?
Yes, I hear.
Joseph, it's me. I have to talk to you.
Come in, dear.
Joe, they let him in. They let him in. The warden let Jack in to see that man.
He did. Well, I must say I'm very surprised and not at all pleased.
Joe, that's not the worst of it. It's what the man said to Jack.
What did he say?
Why, incredible things. He said that the killing was the only manly act of his life, the only thing he ever felt good about, his crowning achievement.
My word.
Joe, he said it was his first manly act.
Perhaps for him it was.
But Joe, how can you talk like that?
I didn't say I considered it a manly act. I said it's quite possible that he did.
Well, I wish that he hadn't chosen it to say to our son. Jack said that he showed no remorse whatsoever. Can you imagine?
Why should he show remorse if he didn't feel any?
Oh, well, I simply don't understand you at all. I really don't.
Well, he was very badly treated by the man he killed.
And that's an excuse for murder? I declare, I'm beginning to see Jack's point. You should have sentenced him to death if that's his attitude. Why, if everybody felt that way, if everybody spent his life getting even with everybody who was unkind to him...
Not everybody, Helen.
Well, all I know is that Jack is very upset. He came home as though he'd been rocked to his very soul. He was not himself at all.
Where is he now?
Well, I told him to go upstairs and lie down for a while, and he said he thought he would. Joe, don't be unkind to him. Please.
I won't be unkind.
I know that you've been terribly annoyed with him these past few weeks, keeping after you all the time about the trial, about the sentence, but...
At the moment, I'm a lot more annoyed with the warden at the prison for letting Jack talk to that man. I can't imagine what he was thinking of. Look, you go back to your kitchen. I'm going to call the warden and chew him out a little.
All right. And don't forget, when Jack comes downstairs, be kind to him.
Don't worry, I'll be kind.
Good.
Come in. Oh, Jack. Come in.
You're busy.
No, not at all. I was going to make a phone call, but that can wait. Sit down, son.
I think I'd rather stand up, if you don't mind.
Your mother just told me that you went to the jail.
Yes, to see the man.
And they let you see him?
Of course. I walked right in.
Oh, come now. It's not that easy to see any prisoner, let alone a convicted murderer.
Well, it was for me.
I can't really say that I approve of your going there in the first place. And in the second place, I very strongly disapprove of the warden letting you in. And I'm very unhappy about what the man said to you.
Mother told you.
Yes.
I was going to tell you myself, because I wanted you to see what you've done.
What I've done?
You let a murderer live. If he kills somebody else, it'll be your fault. You turned him loose.
Now, Jack, I didn't turn him loose. And the phone.
Now let it ring.
What?
Never mind about the phone. Mother will answer it in the kitchen.
I suppose she will.
You and I have got something more important to take care of.
Now, Jack, that's not a gun you have there, is it?
It's a gun, all right.
Well, put it down. For heaven's sake.
I told you. I told you a month ago what a terrible thing you were doing. And you went ahead and did it.
Jack. Jack.
Joseph, the telephone's
for you.
Helen,
be careful.
What is it? Are you all right?
I'm all right.
Jack! Jack! Oh, my Lord, Jack!
I told you. Didn't I tell you?
Joseph! Joseph, has he gone mad? Joseph, is our son gone mad?
What is madness? When does the moment arrive when it is wholly evident? Who is to call it madness? And who is to call it revelation? How long may it last? And can it ever go away? Does it hide? Or is it imprisoned? Or is it disguised in a million minor ways? Till the day when it springs into full view. And when it appears, who is to recognize it and call it madness? I'll be back shortly with Act 3.
This mystery is really thrilling me.
The suspense is really killing me.
Just sitting here by the radio with Vigna Rosé
Wine.
Vigna Rosé Wine.
Say this Vigna Rosé is delicious.
It goes with so many dishes.
Or all alone by the radio. Vigna Rosé Wine.
Uh-huh.
Vigna Rosé Wine. Come let me pour you some more vigna.
At the price it's a value, if you know what I mean. Now let's go back to our mystery show.
But I have one question before I go. What's light and refreshing imported to?
Vigna Rosé Wine.
That's the answer, Vigna Rosé Wine.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
What a wine.
Imported by Hubline, Hartford, Connecticut.
The Happy Hawaiian Easter Drawing. It takes place March 29th at Totem Lake Shopping Center. Two lucky winners will fly to Honolulu, courtesy of Pan Am World Airways, with room accommodations furnished by Travel Unlimited. And this is only part of the story. From now through March 29th, merchants of Totem Lake will be offering tremendous specials. Each merchant will have his own entry box from which individual prize winners will be drawn. On March 23rd, there'll be the Can-Am Open, a radio-controlled auto race featuring 1/8 scale cars powered by two-cycle model engines. And on the day of the Happy Hawaiian Easter drawing, March 29th, there'll be stagecoach rides for all the kids, proceeds going to charity. It all happens at Totem Lake, the only shopping center with two huge malls. So stop by Totem Lake and fill out an entry form while you shop for as many tremendous bargains as you want. Totem Lake, between Bothell and Kirkland, on Interstate 405, just minutes from Seattle, for fun, for savings, and for some couple, a trip to Honolulu.
It's a great mistake to think of all young people as radical and all their parents as conservative. The story we are presenting here concerns a judge who chose to spare the life of an acknowledged murderer and his son who passionately asserted that the man should be put to death. So passionate was his conviction that he was driven to threatening his father with a gun. And a few moments ago, we heard shots. Shots from the gun held by the judge's son.
Orton Keyes, yeah?
Who?
Judge Bailey? What? Yes, yes, ask him to come right in. Oh, what on earth are you supposed to... Oh, come in, Judge. Come on in.
Thank you, Warden.
Will you have a chair?
Thank you. I should have phoned you before barging in like this,
but... Oh, there's no harm.
Warden Keyes, why, in the name of common sense, did you let my son see that man?
Now, wait a minute, Judge Bailey.
At least you could have called and asked me.
Well, I did call you.
You certainly did not.
I did, and your wife answered the phone. She told me you were working in your study, and she didn't want to disturb you.
What in the world was the idea of letting
him... But I didn't. Jack never saw the man.
He didn't?
No. He seemed very disturbed when he showed up here. Not normal at all. And he couldn't give me any logical reason why he should be allowed to talk to the man, so of course I didn't give my permission.
No one else could have let him...
No, no. My word is law here, Judge.
Well, I owe you an apology, Warden Keyes.
Oh, not at all. It's perfectly all right. But what made you think that Jack did talk to the man? Did he say he had?
Well, he told his mother some story... She told me. I should have checked right away instead of... Well, no matter now. I do apologize, Warden.
You know, Judge Bailey, I might have let him in just because he's your son. I say might have. Except that he was so overwrought. Plus the fact that he had a gun. It was in his pocket, very poorly concealed. We spotted it the minute he walked in. Your son doesn't know too much about guns, I take it.
I didn't even know he had one.
They're easy enough to pick up, unfortunately. Of course, I asked him what he planned to do with it.
What did he say?
Told me it was none of my business, and then he ran out of here. That was when I called you and talked to your wife, and... Well, as I told you.
Yes.
And I did call back several times, but we always got a busy signal. I suppose your wife must have left the phone off the hook.
She must have.
I figured something happened and she just forgot.
That's right. Something happened. She forgot. Warden Keyes, I'm going to ask a favor of you, a great favor. If you feel you can't grant it, please say so and I'll understand.
Oh, anything I can do, Judge Bailey, I will do.
I want to talk to this man.
Ah, well, now, wait a minute.
I know I shouldn't ask. And I wouldn't, except that... Well, it's terribly important to me. I don't ask to see him for more than, 5 minutes, perhaps. It shouldn't take more than that.
And I don't know, I really...
It's more important to me than I can possibly explain, Warden. I wish I could explain...
but at the moment I can't. Perhaps one day, I don't know.
5 minutes.
Not a second longer.
All right, where would you like to talk to him?
Oh, any place at all, in his cell. Look, if you're afraid he'll do me some harm, is that it? You're afraid he might attack me?
Oh, no. Seeing as you're the man who spared his life,
well,
I don't...
Even so, if you think he's dangerous, I'm willing to chance that. I mean, it's that important to me.
I don't consider him dangerous at all. I think this murder is probably the only crime he'll ever commit.
You mean that?
Sure, it was a crime of passion, pure and simple. I think he'll make trusty within a year.
Really?
Most of our trustees are murderers, didn't you know that?
I never really thought about it.
Oh, not the professional killers or the psychotic ones, but the one-time murderers, where the stress and strain of their particular situation simply overwhelmed them, where the buried hostility suddenly surfaced, and as a rule, just as suddenly subsided, never to surface again.
It's interesting.
Well, now, how would you like to see this man right here in my office?
Could I?
5 minutes?
At my word.
Okay. You know, I'd like to know sometime what you think of him. Personally, I like him. You stay right here, I'll have him brought in.
You know who I am?
I should, don't you think?
Yes, that was a silly thing to say. Look, we only have 5 minutes. I promised the warden. So if you don't mind, I'd like to come straight to the point.
Yes, sure, okay.
I have a son, about your age. He didn't agree with the 20 to life I gave you. He thought you should have been given the death penalty.
Oh, really?
His name is Jack. Jack grew really exercised about it as the trial went on. Very, very vehement. Got so I avoided speaking to him for fear he'd bring it up. I didn't want to argue with him, and I didn't want him to take the chance of his influencing me in the slightest.
I guess you've earned your reputation. I mean, like, you really are a good judge.
I actually barred him from the courtroom on the day I handed down my decision. And that made him even more agitated, more hostile. And then came the day, you'd been locked up here about a month, I guess, when he told his mother that he was going to come here to see you.
Yeah, what for?
I don't know precisely. To see how you were reacting to the crime, I guess.
But he never saw me.
So the warden just told me. But Jack came home and told his mother that he had seen you. And that you were cool as a cucumber about the whole thing.
Not quite.
That you'd never felt so much like a man as when you killed your father. That it's the only thing you ever felt good about. Where could he have gotten such an idea?
I couldn't say for sure, but maybe because that's exactly the way I do feel about it.
You mean that?
Yeah, sure.
No remorse? None at all?
Well, I'd rather not be here, of course, and I know I shouldn't have taken a man's life, but like deep in I really care to look at the moment. I know that my whole life had been like leading up to the killing. And it wasn't even that killing, the killing of that man, I mean. It was the killing of my own father.
You don't mean you actually...
No, I didn't kill my own father, though I wanted to. I couldn't do it because I was only 4 years old when he took me to the orphanage and left me there. But I always believed he would. I went on believing for a long time.
And when this other man took you out of the orphanage...
Oh, I pretended to myself that my father had come for me. Of course, the pretense didn't work. Pretenses never do.
I'm going to tell you something that I I'd rather you didn't repeat to anyone.
Okay.
I have your word.
Yeah, sure, if you need it, you got it.
The warden wouldn't let Jack see you because... Well, I guess it's against regulations, but besides that... Jack had a gun on him. He came home after the warden had turned him down, and he came into my study where I was working, and he reproached me again for letting you live. And he fired a shot at me. His mother came into the room at that moment to tell me about a phone call, and he turned the gun on himself.
Oh, no.
Mind you, no one knows about this.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it'll come out, won't it? How he died.
He isn't dead. He's wounded. He's in the hospital. But he'll live. Now, can you tell me why he should have done such a thing? I mean, I realize you can't possibly know. Not really, but I'd like your opinion.
Me? Okay, all right. For what it's worth. I think that, you know, brooding about me, what I'd done, your son read my feelings accurately. Now, whether this was thought transference or telepathy or whatever, I don't know too much about those things. But he discovered that this desire to kill the father is a universal wish.
But I always thought my son loved me.
Oh, he does. I'm sure he does. But that doesn't alter the other feeling, now, does it? I mean, it could keep it from, like, surfacing, but it doesn't really alter it. Nothing does. Nothing can.
It's hard for me to accept the fact that my son tried to kill me.
Oh, but he didn't, don't you see? You mustn't think that. He was standing right close to you, wasn't he, when he fired the shots?
Well, about 6 feet away.
Right. Yeah, and you weren't moving, were you? You weren't trying to stop him?
Well, I was too astonished. And perhaps too afraid.
So you were a perfect target, weren't you?
Well, I suppose. Yes, I was.
And yet he missed completely, didn't he?
Yes.
Well, Judge, anyone who could miss a stationary target at 6 feet, he just didn't want to hit it. So he only succeeded in wounding himself. Am I right?
Thank you. From the bottom of my heart. For all you said.
No. Thank you, sir. For my life.
Hello, son. How are you?
Coming along okay, I guess.
That's what the doctors tell me.
Father, lying here thinking, trying to think, I can't understand how it all happened.
It's all right.
I was out of my mind. That's the only way I can figure it. Don't you think so?
I think something like that.
It won't ever happen again.
Oh, Jack. When you went to see the man in jail, the murderer, why'd you take a gun with you?
Oh, yes, a gun.
Did you mean to kill him with it?
Oh, no, no, no.
Did you think you'd do what I hadn't done? Take his life?
No. You see, I thought he'd be so remorseful. I thought he'd be eaten up with remorse and guilt and sorrow for what he'd done. I thought he wouldn't want to live. So I thought I'd just hand him the gun, and he'd do the rest.
By that, you mean...
I thought he'd kill himself. But I never got to see him. Did I?
No.
Funny. I thought there for a while I did see him. And we talked a little bit, and he was so arrogant. And he wasn't sorry at all. It was very clear to me at the time. Now I'm not so sure.
Rest, son. It'll all come clear one day soon. Thou shalt not kill. This simple, terse statement is in the book of Exodus. It is not followed by the word except, or the word unless, or any qualifying phrase. No, it reads plainly, thou shalt not kill. We might ask why the Lord thought it necessary to deliver this stern injunction. Can it be for any other reason but that the impulse to kill lies fermenting silently in every human heart? I'll be back shortly.
You're on the open road, rolling free and feeling great about your new Buick Century. Because in published EPA mileage test results, a V6 Buick Century got the best highway mileage of any U.S. midsize car. 24 miles per gallon and 16 in the city. Your Century's comfortable, it's nimble, it's economical, and above all, it's a Buick. Living free.
Hello, I'm Helen Hayes. There's something very exciting happening in this country. Thousands of people throughout the United States are actively involved with the American Field Service, AFS.
They are volunteering their time to help high school students from 60 nations understand more about our country. AFS deserves to be a part of your town or city. Write AFS, 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York.
Hi, I'm Burl Ives. You know, nothing perks up a meal like an exciting side dish. And I'd like to tell you about one your family and your guests are sure to love and keep on loving. It's Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. It's a mouth-watering mixture of Uncle Ben's converted bran rice, wild rice herbs, and seasonings. It's the kind of side dish that can make an ordinary meal a great meal and can keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. In fact, Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice is so good, they tell me that most everyone who tries it comes back for more. That's because there are no compromises in quality. But that's the way Uncle Ben's does business. So, to make an ordinary meal a great meal, try Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. And to make sure you get the quality ingredients and good taste I've told you about, make sure it's Uncle Ben's.
Dear listeners, I hope we have not saddened you with our account of the darker side of man's nature. If we have, let me leave you with these lovely words from the book of Psalms. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Our cast included William Prince, Augusta Dabney, Christopher Tabori, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
That's the end of our mystery show. I hope nobody swooned. So long, folks, it's time to go. Thanks for staying tuned. We'll be back by and by with more of radio's best. A tale to terrify. I'll give you cardiac arrest. We guarantee our story will send chills right up your spine. Just make sure that you're the one
who chills the Vigna wine.
But for now, turn on the light and open up the lock. Hope we didn't leave you in a fright or in a state of shock. We'll be back with more suspense to make your head turn gray. Brought to you with compliments. of imported Vigna Rosé.
Imported by Hoodline, Hartford, Connecticut.
CBS News is next on KIXI, AM and FM in Seattle. And the weather outlook calling for showery periods and rather windy through Sunday with partial clearing at times. Showers locally mixed with snow. Highs in the upper 40s, lows in the upper 30s, and currently 42 degrees. Sports score, the Sonics lost tonight to Los Angeles.
CBS News. Working into early Saturday morning, the Senate has just approved its version of a bill to rebate and cut taxes. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The vote on the tax bill in the Senate was 60-29. Details from Mariah McLaughlin.
The Senate has finally done it and come forth with a tax cut package considerably higher than the president requested. Mr. Ford wanted around $16 billion. The House topped that with an almost $20 billion package. And not to be outdone, the Senate came in with a $30 billion plus tax cut proposal. A good bit of the Senate bill will probably be modified when next week the Senate and House conferees get together to iron out the differences between the House and Senate versions, with the final measure expected to be closer to the House figure. The conferees will start arguing over the compromise on Monday, with the hope that the final measure could be sent to the White House on Wednesday. Both House and Senate measures contain a proposal on the repeal of the oil depletion allowance and some tax credits for businesses and some tax credits and rebates for individuals. It's hoped those first rebate checks can be in the mail as early as May. Mariah McLaughlin, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
More news in a moment.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
Airport officials in Bangkok, Thailand report that Khmer Rouge gunners hit two American planes at Phnom Penh's airport Saturday morning, forcing a halt to the U.S. airlift. The reports say two cargo planes involved in the operation to fly food and military supplies to Cambodia were hit in the shelling. The State Department says North Vietnam has moved a bigger force than ever before into South Vietnam. Officials say Hanoi has started an offensive as intense as the ones in 1968 and 1972. In Saigon, military sources say the communists now control seven provinces, from Quang Tri in the far north down through the central highlands to Binh Long north of Saigon, and are threatening the old imperial capital of Hue. Hundreds of thousands of refugees are streaming south from the central highlands. Israeli government leaders held an unusual Friday night session, unusual because it extended into the Jewish Sabbath, and met with Secretary of State Kissinger. But Defense Minister Shimon Peres says the basic positions are still not bridged. The marathon effort is aimed at getting a settlement with Egypt. The Egyptians have given in a little on some demands by the Israelis. John Sheehan has a report from Aswan.
An Egyptian government spokesman has defined his government's position further, saying that if Israel agrees to a new disengagement, Egypt will enter a joint pledge that no acts of war can be committed under any pretext. The Egyptian offer is still short of the declaration of non-belligerency Israel has demanded. What Egypt has suggested is a series of peaceful gestures to take the place of a formal declaration ending the state of war. Egyptian Foreign Minister Ismail Fahmy declared to news reporters here that if the Kissinger talks fail, Israel will be totally responsible. Official Egyptian sources emphasized, however, that they believe the difficulties in the talks can be resolved. The same sources predicted that Kissinger might have to shuttle three or four more times, in addition to the four stops he has already made here in Egypt. John Sheehan, CBS News, Aswan.
Now this.
They said it couldn't be done by fleas and ticks all in one. The two-in-one collar from Hearts. The two-in-one collar from Hearts.
They said it couldn't be done, but Hearts did it. At last, a collar for your dog or cat that not only kills fleas, but fights ticks too. Fleas and ticks are a year-round problem, so give your pet all-over protection right now. Look for the box with the bullseye, the new Hearts 2-in-1 collar. One incredible collar for both fleas and ticks.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's new Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Vaseline Hemorrhoid. It's new. Use only as directed.
After several years of planning and preparation, the first section of the Alaska oil pipeline will be laid next week. A pipe 48 inches in diameter will be laid underneath a river 75 miles north of the port of Valdez, the southern terminus of the line. Construction of the pipeline will take 3 years and cost about $4.5 billion. It'll run 798 miles and cross 34 major streams, carrying oil from the North Slope. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, where the time now is 6 minutes past 11.